Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Comedy Concepts with your host, Nancy Lombardo.
Good morning, New York. Yes, it is a good morning. We woke up, so we win. Anyway, today's guest is a very special guy, a prior friend of mine, Mr. Al Peck. Before I start, a little music to put us in the holiday spirit. I'll start with some music and well, there you have it. That's a little fun thing going on. Today's guest, I like this man. I saw him perform recently, and now I'm a fan. Al Katz started his career in Philadelphia, where he was born and raised, and he's been working the city. He does everything from roast. He's a writer for the famous and the infamous, so I'm going to let him tell you all about that. And he'll be appearing next, or shall I say starring, in Atlantic City. So let's bring him on. Al Katz, are you there?
Hey, Nance, how are you?
Hi, I loved your set at the Friars Club.
You were so funny.
That,
I appreciate it, and now that you're a fan, I've expanded my base to two. So, you know, I'm rolling right along. Hopefully this radio show will bring some more in, but I'm so thrilled to be a part of it.
And you know what I like, Al, about your style of comedy is the new comedians or young comedians, shall we say, who are performing don't really do their homework. It's not like the old days when comedians did their homework. They studied comedy. They studied styles. They study these kids today. Everything's an open mic. They jump on stage. They think somebody told them they were funny, and they're there. You really bring back what is, I consider, the art of telling a joke and comedy. And I just love it. I just love what you're doing.
That's, I guess it's intrinsic in me because, you know, I've been an aficionado all my life, really. You know, I'm almost 50. And ever since I'm, I don't know, 3, I was performing. Seriously, I used to perform for my family in a living room with a
like
pair
Billy
of pajamas.
Crystal, right?
Yeah, and I used to mimic all the cartoon characters that I did, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck. And so I really started at a very young age and, you know, was always, you know, thought I had a good sense of humor. But you're right about the contemporary artists. A lot of them don't, you know, do their homework. And the Friars Club in particular is, you know, an institution that's housed some of the greatest comedic talent ever. And I kind of, being a part of the club, kind of, I guess it rubbed off a little bit, you know.
Well, I think you started out,
you know,
before then, as you said, you started when you were a child.
Right.
Forming, and
yeah.
You got the bug early, as they
yeah,
say.
Yeah, that's true. So it's been a part of my life, you know, as far back as I can remember. So it's,
but you do tell, what I consider to be, you do tell a good joke. A
yes.
lot of what I'm noticing with comedians today is they're all mostly foul language and no content. It's like,
yeah, and
where
it's
are you
more,
going with
right.
this? You're not saying anything.
Yeah, you know, you got valid points. And, you know, I don't like to paint the industry with a broad brush, but that's predominantly true. You know, I think, but there are, you know, some there's some, and Friars as well, you in particular as well, you know, you perform too, and you're very good, and you do material, which is enlightening, and, you know, your YouTube style, I know this is supposed to be about me, but, you know, I'm just going, I definitely was attracted to what you do by your YouTube video and the roast that you did. They were all good stuff, solid material, coming out of the gate, and it was, hats off to you, too. Yeah,
cool.
It was,
thank
it was
you.
Nice.
Now,
yeah.
Tell me about, you've got a, we're going to go back and forth with your past.
Sure.
We don't have to be in any kind of order. I'm just, what people don't know, you really do have chops in the business in that you have written for numerous famous people here.
Yeah, that's true. And I started
writing. How did
writing,
you get into that writing
well,
for? Who was your first famous celebrity that you started to write for?
Jay Leno.
Now, how
yeah.
did that come about?
Well, it's something that came about through a guy by the name of Gene Parrott. Gene Parrott was Bob Hope's writer.
Oh.
Gene Parrott started a club called the Round Table. It was a group of writers, and we exchanged ideas, and it was part of a network. Long story short, I went out to Palm Springs, California, met Gene Parrott, took one of his crash courses, got involved with more of the writing end of the business, and met a guy by the name of Joe Medeiros. Joe Medeiros is Jay's head writer, has been for 20 years. And that kind of connection made me, you know, start submitting stuff to Jay with Joe's recommendation, and the rest is history. That was the first guy of, you know, notoriety that I started writing for, and kind of snowballed after that.
And when you say writing, were you writing their monologues? Were
yes,
you
monologue
jokes?
Jokes, yes.
So
yes.
You would do long form then?
Yeah, just, you know, like, you know, Jay kind of, everybody's got their own style, and you kind of got to get into their heads a little bit and figure out, you know, what they say and how they say it. And then once you do that, once you find out their formula, you know, like Jay kind of puts two incongruous situations together and makes a joke out of it. Like the first joke I ever wrote for him was, this is years ago, like 1991, I think it was. It's going back like 20 years. And Yasser Arafat at the time was trying to get into the country, United States, mm-hmm. but they wouldn't give him a visa. So I said, you know, what, isn't he just, you know, fly to Mexico and walk across like everybody else? You know, that was one of the jokes. That's the first joke he ever bought for me. And
wow.
Two separate subjects, a little edgy, but he did it on, you know, national TV. I got a check the next week, and I was like, wow. Jay Leno's starting to buy jokes for me, and that's how it all started.
And then you went on to write for David Letterman.
And then I wrote for Letterman. I was on what they call a stipend, which means you get a certain amount of money every week, and you fax 20 jokes in, I think it was, once a week or twice a week, and you're on salary. And I did that for a while, and then I got involved with Bill Maher at the time. He was on Comedy Central, and I started writing for him. I was on his writing staff at Politically Incorrect. And then the weirdest thing happened, and it's weird, this business, it happens that way. It's mm-hmm. feast or famine. You'll go years, months, droughts, and then all of a sudden everything happens at once, and I start getting solicited by all these companies that want me to to write for them. In fact, I was writing for Politically Incorrect and David Letterman simultaneously and sending different jokes into both candidates because they did different styles. And, you know, Leno would do stuff that Letterman wouldn't, and Letterman would do stuff that Marr wouldn't, and vice versa. You know, so it was all kind of, you had to kind of dissect the material, even though it was the same subject, just to write it in three different styles and send it to everybody. And they were doing all the jokes at once. It was, like, pretty wild for a while. And then, out of the blue, again, this business happens that way, Yakov Smirnoff, of all people.
Okay, now you're going into Russia. Okay.
Yeah, now I'm expanding my horizons across the border, and as Sarah Palin said, I could see it from my house. But anyway, that's a whole other story.
I love that. No, that's Yakov Smirnoff.
Yeah, so he gets a hold of me. His manager calls me. He's in Branson.
Now, how did they find out about you?
Good question, you know.
Did they see you perform?
No, you know what? No,
I need a comedy writer, and they go, I know this guy.
Well, I'm going back a few years, but I remember there was an ad in the paper, and I think it was Backstage, New York publication, or one of those magazines, just an ad looking for a writer for Yakov, and I answered it, and I started submitting jokes, and then after a couple of weeks of submissions, they put me on salary writing from my house in New Jersey, and then I get a phone call from the manager, conference call, the head of development, whoever, Yakov himself, and they say they want me to fly to Branson, Missouri to head the show for TNN. It was on the Nashville Network. They were going to do a segment like Weekend Update, but from Yakov. So it was like a five-minute segment on this television show, and they wanted me to fly out there and head the team up. I was like, you want me to go to Branson, Missouri? I don't even know where Branson is. You know, I got to look on a map. What's Branson? It was totally new to me, totally foreign, had no idea what it was.
But it's a big entertainment center, isn't it?
And it was then, too. I mean, there were theaters. I mean, major theaters. There was like
big
30
theaters. Doesn't Dina Martin have a – is that what her
theater is? All those people, like Glenn Campbell and Kenny Rogers and every country music star in the country have theaters. They're big theaters, like 2,500, 3,000 seat theaters. And that's where we were working out of. And I got a taste of show business from running a theater and a show.
So now let me ask you this, Al. Before that, had you performed?
Oh, yeah. I was a stand-up.
You were performing and...
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
So, all right. You were
oh, yeah.
Stand-up.
I started doing stand-up back in 1988, open mics and so forth, and then 1990, I actually started working full-time at it, you know, getting gigs on the road. I went on the road for a while and then, did that. And then I started writing, and then the writing took me off the road because, you know, the road is fun. Yeah, you get acclimated with the country and it does.
Yeah, it's fun when you're young.
Yeah, exactly. When you're young and you don't have
after
a family.
At a certain age, you're like,
Yeah, it's like, you know, what am I doing? I'm in Oil City, Pennsylvania. Am I out of my mind?
You have to have a life, too. Because
yeah,
that's
exactly.
The trouble is that now you see a lot of comedians and are you married, Al?
Yes, I am.
How many years?
Yeah. I'm married almost 20, actually, 1991.
That's amazing because what I'm seeing from the 80s, you're one of the few people, is that there are all these comedians that never stop to have a life.
Right. It's true. They do, you know, and there's some of the great ones like Leno's a good model. I mean, he really is. I mean, you can't get more successful than that guy, and yet he had a wife, same wife, for probably 30 years, you know, had a home life, even though he's a workaholic. You know, he's a little crazy when it comes to that, but he always had a home life. You know, he never was one of these guys that, you know, when guys were out partying, drinking, doing whatever, he was home writing material. You know, and that's what he did. That was his mantra.
Well, I think that's probably has a lot to do with your success, too, because you do have a home life.
Yes, that's true. I'm grounded. Yeah, I have a daughter who's great, and it's fodder for material. When you have a six-year-old running around, you got an hour of stuff you could talk about.
I had a friend who said that once to me. I have to have another kid. I'm running out of material.
Yeah, exactly. Then you start adopting to get more material. You know, I'm serious. It never ends.
How many children do you have?
I have just the one.
One daughter?
Yeah, she's great. Yeah, my daughter. She's,
and what does she think of your profession?
Well, I got to tell you, it's a little early to tell, but she's not shy. I mean, anytime there's a microphone around, she's got it in her hand. I don't know if because she's seen me perform on TV and she knows I do it for a living, but she kind of has a natural.
How old is she?
She's six.
Six? Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's a little six. She just turned six.
You're a king in that house.
What's that?
You're a king in that house. You have a six-year-old girl.
Oh, yeah, I'm king. Forget it. I'm her slave. Get me water. I want a waffle. I'm like, when did I become a servant? I mean, it's the way it is. It's she rules the roost.
That's funny. She goes around with a mic and.
She does. She got a trophy for singing. You know, she's just she
all right,
likes.
So there's some
likes,
show business going on there. Is your wife in the business?
Is my wife in the business?
Yeah.
Is that what you asked? No.
Yes.
No, my wife hates comedy. I mean, she really, I'm not kidding you.
My husband's the same way. He's like, do I have to go?
Yeah,
I already know your act.
You got it. Right. I mean, the first couple of years, I was going to Vegas and California, and we went to some nice places, but it got old fast with her.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and it's like kind of like a second girlfriend. You know, it's like, you know, I'm going comedy, I'm out tonight, but I'm doing material, whatever. It's not being home and not being with her, so there is a little bit of jealousy, you know, underlining tones, but
it's kind of a guilty pleasure. As a comedian myself, it is a guilty pleasure being
a
comedian.
Yes.
So,
yes, it is.
On one hand, to describe to the audience, being a comedian, on one hand is, I don't know about you, but I was in stand-up, then out of stand-up, then back to stand-up.
Uh-huh.
So, but doing it to this day, no matter what, I still get nervous and upset over the jokes.
Yeah, we all do.
Then I get up on, and then I'm on the stage, and I'm almost on the stage, and I'm going, what kind of crowd? And then I get up on the stage, and I am having the best time of my life, and
exactly.
I feel so guilty.
No, it's true. It's a natural instinct. It's therapeutic. I mean, how many times were you, maybe you were sick, and you had a performance, always like the old
I've performed with pneumonia.
The show must go on. Me too. I've vomited in between sets. I mean, that's how sick I was one night, you know. And that's
but it's
it, but
amazing.
I still
it's a
did
whole
it.
Different world. I think what Steve Martin said in his book about stand-up comedy is a truism. He said stand-up comedy is your lips moving and your mind racing ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're feeling out the crowd. It really is like free-falling and skydiving.
Yep.
The joke's not working.
Yeah, we're out there without
a net. Just stop the joke in the middle and go to something else. This is not going to work. This is not that crowd.
Right.
Keep
right.
moving.
You're right, and what's tough is if you're stuck in a 3-minute bit and they're not buying it from the first 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and you know you got 2.5 more minutes, that's like 4 hours. It's the longest 2.5 minutes of your life.
It is.
It really is.
That's the thrill of it. So you have the right. Now, tell me about this. I'm very excited about your show at the Tropicana.
Yeah.
Tell me about this.
Well, you know, I've worked there a couple of times in the past. I did Vegas as well, and It's close to home for me, so it's really a treat to stay home.
It's
and
also
do it.
Exciting. It's Atlantic City and the Tropicana.
I mean, it's great.
You know.
I mean, it's a nice town. We're doing it all week, and I do this. You know, I'm always perfecting and working on different things, and I'm actually working on a one-man show, and it's going to work out the material this week. It's already been tested, you know,
What's
in different
the name of the
venues.
Show?
It's called a funny thing happened on the way to settlement. And the whole act is based on the real estate market because, I'm an investor and I sell real estate as
That's
well.
That's right. Yes. Alpha.
And I think it's a good
name
blend.
Of your real estate is Alpha Century?
Well, that's the name of my management company.
Oh,
that's
your management.
That's
you do everything. Is there anything you don't do, Al?
Well, I don't do laundry.
Because
one time I mixed a white shirt with a red blouse, and my wife had a pink outfit, and ever since then, I don't do laundry.
What are you complaining about? You said you wanted to wear something new.
Exactly. Funny, I should have told it. I see. Hey, I hate it when the host is funnier than I am. You got to stop that.
Oh, there's no way I can be funnier than you.
That's true. No.
It's true. He's not kidding.
But that's how. That's the show, and you know,
and
the
it's
real,
about. So you combined. You.
I combined.
You actually have a real estate company.
I work for a company called Prudential Fox and Roach.
Say it slower. Prudential Fox.
Prudential Fox and Roach. You know, Prudential's been around 100 years.
Oh yeah, they're big.
Yeah, Piece of the Rock, all that stuff. Well, this is the real estate arm of them, and we do a lot of business in the Atlantic City area.
That's mostly Atlantic City. So would that be what's the big?
Well, the surrounding towns would be beach town. We have a big beach community here, like Margate, Ventnor, Longport, Brigantine. These are really, really nice.
Everything on the Monopoly board.
Pretty much, and surrounding areas. Yes, we do a lot.
I like Atlantic City. A lot of people don't realize that it's not just about gambling there. That they have a lot of good theater going on there.
Oh yeah, there's
shows.
I
love that you could be at a Broadway show and be on the beach.
Absolutely. And that's they're combining the both. It's beach meets Broadway. That's a good way to describe it.
It is beach meets Broadway. It's
and there's
the
there's
best
five
of both worlds.
Yep, there's five-star restaurants headed by some of the best chefs in the world. I mean, Wolfgang Puck is here. You know, Bobby Flay, just to name a few.
And there's shopping.
The Walk has 100 retail outlet stores. And let me tell you something. You stand outside one of the stores. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention brand names over the air, but...
That's okay. Yeah, you're fine.
Okay, there's a Coach store. It's an outlet store for Coach.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're at a nightclub. There's a line. A line around the block to get into this place.
Oh, I've been there. That's what I noticed about it.
All right, so yeah, it's like they're doing a phenomenal business. They really have, and they're expanding it. That's the other thing. A huge developer came in town and wants to not only enhance what's there, but expand and put another 50 or 60 stores with restaurants and entertainment and nightclubs. And
so do you do both real estate? I mean, do you do both houses and office?
Oh, yeah, we do commercial stuff as well, but we specialize in what we're called as a secondary market because of the beach, and people buy a second home here because that's their vacation home or it's an investment, and they want to come down to Atlantic City for the summer, and they stay, and then they go home and right after Labor Day. There's a lot of people that buy second homes here.
It does have, in certain areas, that very beach town feeling where you go to some of the houses, and they're like, beach houses.
Yeah,
so
I have
people living there all year round.
Yeah, it's also an all year round community, but there are people that are just summer residents only. And some of those places you mentioned, like you can go in their house and you'll see a painting of a beach and a sign on the near the kitchen with an arrow beach pointing to where it is. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's that. The whole landscape is.
So it's also then I would say, Al, it's a good investment for someone if they were to buy, say, a beach house to rent it out.
Oh, yeah, they rent all the time. Absolutely. The rental money alone carries the property for, well, it depends on the price, but typically you'll get half your money back in summer rents.
It's just a little bit of a secret.
Yeah.
The word needs to get out, I think.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean,
so how do you combine this? I have visions of you selling in a comedic way.
Okay.
How do you combine both? Like,
well, it's something that really happened naturally. First of all, I'm a born writer. And we write about things that we know,
mm-hmm.
and that's the best stuff to write about because we know it well. And being in the real estate business, I got to know it well, so I was able to write about it. And then it just, you think about things that, I mean, most of the listeners are either two groups of people. They're either renters or owners.
Mm-hmm.
You either rent an apartment or you own a house, either or. So everybody is either in the real estate business indirectly anyway because they've experienced stuff in real estate, whether buying a home, selling a home, renting an apartment, moving, leasing. There's so many facets of our everyday life that are actually tied to where we live and how we live. So there's plenty of material there, and I get it from my background as well. Like I grew up in a typical Italian household. We had three bedrooms, one and a half kitchens. You had to have that kitchen in the basement in case of a nuclear attack. That's the kind of stuff.
The holiday parties.
That too.
You have to cook in the kitchens.
Exactly. So we grew up with that, and then we have the stuff that happens in the real estate business that. It's so funny. I mean, there's things that happen every day. You're dealing with the public and so many backgrounds and dichotomies of culture and certain things that happen in the daily real estate world that are I think hilarious, and so does the public. I mean, they're starting to see my website. They can go on that and get a clip of the act.
Oh yes, what is your website?
Oh, it's www.acnewhouse.com. That's acnewhouse.com.
And that's also on my cover page. When you send it out, it's going to be there, so people can go there. But you also have a website for your comedy, too, don't you?
Well, that's a two-for-one. I have a website for my comedy as well, because I do a lot of golf outings, and I figured that would be a good tie-in. It's golfclubcomedy.com.
Oh, I don't have that one. I have www.comedystop.com. What's that?
Oh, that's the Tropicana site.
Oh, that's Tropicana.
Yeah, I thought
so tell
you
me about
ask.
The golf outings that you do.
Well, I do quite a few of them in the season. I would say from about April to even up to November. I did one not too long ago at a country club. The weather was pretty nice, and they came out. But
do people contact you for that?
Well, I network with other people that do business at country clubs, and a lot of it's repeat business. I mean, I've had same clients five, six, 7 years now, and they call me every year for their outing. Or, you know, a lot of companies have, they may be doing an event, and they're just using the country club's room, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll do a private event for a luncheon.
Right. You also do roast.
Yes.
I
do a lot of roast. I actually specialize in roast, and that came out of the Friars Club, too.
Now, were you writing jokes for the roast and performing them?
Yeah, I wrote for some of the roasters in the past. I mean, Jeff Ross and I go back many, many years, probably 20 years. And, we're old friends, and we bounce ideas with each other. And, you know, Lisa Lampanelli is another person that I've
written. Oh, and they both have new books out, too.
Yeah, and,
only
you know,
both
they're...
Ones You Love and Lisa's Something Love Chocolate. Our book.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, but that's a whole other radio show.
That's a whole other show. So
yeah.
So now you're combining.
Yes.
You're doing your real estate.
Yes.
At the same time, so real estate by day, comedy by night.
Pretty much, and then there's real estate comedy. Like I do a lot of luncheons for real estate related businesses, whether it's a real estate board that's having their luncheon with awards. They hire me to do those, and then the mortgage companies. They'll hire me to do a luncheon on a Wednesday. So I guess it kind of meets in the middle at noon. The comedy meets the real estate during the day at noon.
Yeah. Has it been hard to do both? Because then you obviously are in Atlantic City, I assume.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So now you come in and you perform at the Friars Club as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I come to New York almost every week. If it's not the Friars, it's a couple other clubs that are around town that I'll do a spot in. I don't come up every day, but I will come up like once a week and still keep my foot in New York, so to speak. And then the real estate really is, it's really not that time consuming. It's during the day, and I'm not doing anything comedy wise during the day except writing. You know, I get up early and write my stuff, and then I have my coffee and I start my day as far as making phone calls and doing the real estate stuff. But the nights are free. Like tonight, I'm performing.
Where will you be tonight?
Tonight I'll be at the Foundation Room at the House of Blues in Atlantic City. That's a private club that's part of the House of Blues that's connected.
Oh, yeah, like the one on 42nd Street.
Correct.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Well, that's pretty prestigious.
Yeah, so
club.
I'm doing that tonight, and that's a 7:30 show. So, I got today to think about what I'm going to do,
get it honed. How long a set are you doing tonight?
Oh, it's easy. It's 15, 20 minutes. That's all they need.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, it's quick, in and out, boom.
When it's an hour, depending on
your
set.
Yeah, an hour stretching. I mean, I don't think comedy show. I mean, unless it's a concert, if it's a one-man show, you could even do an hour and 20 with a one-man. But when it's a regular stand-up act, 20 to 30 minutes is tops. I mean,
and
that's
I agree, Al. And when I do shows, I do a lot of private events.
Yes.
Because that's where the money is. Now,
yes.
I do a lot of private events, and I also do roast.
Right.
But I try to tell them, no, you don't want an hour, trust me.
No, definitely not.
I said, especially if it's luncheon. People want,
It's in and out.
In and out. Just keep them laughing. Because
that's
once you get past that 35-minute mark, that you could see them slowly winding
up. Yeah, of course. The attention span is not there, and they got other agendas. Especially if it's in the afternoon, they got to get back to work, or they have to go make their phone calls or whatever it is. They just need to. It's a little comic relief, and 20 to 30 minutes is really all you need.
And now your management company too. So you're like a triple threat.
Yes, that's what I'm known as in
and
the
now,
inner
what
circles.
And what do you do? You manage other comedians?
That's what I was doing years ago. I actually still have the company, and I was managing comics. I actually had actresses as well.
Wow.
And we would get them certain things. Like I got a couple of deals for some people. We struck development deals with Warner Brothers, and I negotiated that. It was fun. I mean, it was a nice,
you're not just a manager. You're a manager.
Yeah. Say that with authority. Yeah.
Yes. You're a manager.
Yeah, I'm the manager.
God.
Exactly.
They must be all up in you at the Friars Club.
Oh, yeah. Oh, please. All over the place. I was living out in Los Angeles for a while, too, and it's like, you get a script from a busboy. And it's, read this while you bring me my bread, whatever.
Oh, but that's the Friars Club. I think everybody's looking for a manager.
Yeah, everybody needs that manager. And I liked it. I had fun doing it. Yeah, it is a lot of work, and more work than I wanted to put in, to be quite honest.
I can see you being a good manager, Al, because you do have you have to be good at math because you do real estate.
Yeah, that's true.
Second, you can read people, and third, you would be more of what the old-fashioned managers were, which were you must dress this way.
Right.
You go in, don't do that bit, do this bit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we did that. I consulted on wardrobe and material choices. I will not wear a hairpiece and smoke a cigar, though. That's where I draw the line. Yeah, and the plaid jacket.
Let me tell you what you need to do, kid. When I started out in this business.
Exactly. Broadway, Broadway was nothing when I got into this business. It was tumbleweeds, I tell you, tumbleweeds.
Tumbleweeds. Madeline Guilford, the wife of Jack Guilford, she recently passed away, but she told me a great story once about the old days in the show business. She goes, Nancy, in the old days, when they fired you from a club, they didn't say you fired. They gave you back your pictures. And I said, that's cold. You walked in the club, you didn't see your picture, assume you're fired. So it is a cold build. So you're not doing so much management then? You're managing Al.
I'm managing, you're right, I am. I am my biggest client right now.
You use a different name when you manage yourself?
You know, I should. How about Reuben Kincaid? Is that taken? I don't know if that one's taken.
Well, I think that might have a copyright problem there.
Can you imagine? Hey, this is Reuben Kincaid. That would be funny.
I got this family band. You got to see. What are they called? The Aristocrats. No.
That's funny. That's great.
No,
it's just me. And then, you know, the one-man show is something that I feel strongly about, and I think it's going to, you know, get some wings in the next.
The name of it. So
it's called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Settlement.
A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Settlement.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, it's all about the real estate business, what we deal with in homes, and you know, I think everybody can relate to it because we all deal with it on a daily basis.
And now you do corporate too. I want to mention that.
Yeah, I do. I got a lot of corporate clients, and some of them are actually members of the Friars Club too that I've worked for in the past. A lot of politicians. You know, there's always material with those guys. Thank God for the politicians. I would have been broke years ago if it wasn't for them. So, you know,
they keep us going.
Yes, they do. So I do a lot of fundraising for, and it doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat. It's whoever wants to pay me. You know, it's the money's still green. You know, so I do both sides of that. Corporate events, a lot of busy this time of year.
Now,
a lot of holiday parties.
Now, if you want to book you on a corporate event, which website of your many should they go to?
If it's a corporate event, they can go to the acnewhouse.com.
AC. You know what? When you say it now, I see. It's so logical. Duh.
Yeah.
acnewhouse.com.
That's it.
Oh,
and they can go there.
Putting it all together. I was trying to sound it out as a word. Duh. And I was going, acnewhouse.
There you go. And coincidentally, my real last name, which, you know, a lot of people don't know, they know me as Alcaz, which is short for, my real last name is Castelnuova. And in Italian, it translates into new house.
Does it?
Casa, house, nova, which is a variation of nuovo, which is how the name was originally spent, but they, you know, they chopped out letters when they came to Ellis Island.
Wow, you were meant for this
business.
You were meant to be this. And let's go back to, because your next show that people can go see will be at the Tropicana.
It'll be at the Tropicana in Atlantic City at the Comedy Stop.
And what time
stop.
Is that show? At
Comedy.
Oh, that's the Comedy Stop
at
Tropicana.
Yep.
And where is that located?
That's on Brighton and the Boardwalk. That's the exact address.
Oh, it's
Brighton,
Brighton
smack of Atlantic
Boardwalk.
City.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. You could go for dinner, then see the show. What time's the show?
Show's 9 o'clock.
9 p.m.
And 9 and 11:15 on Friday and Saturday.
Wow, so you'll be there every night at 9?
Every night at 9.
And are there other comedians or is it just you?
Yeah, no, three of us. He puts a three-headliner show together.
Oh, three headliners. Oh,
yeah, it's
that's
great.
That's great. That's
he does a nice job.
You take turns headlining?
Yes. I mean, it depends on who's on the show. Like, you know, the order may change in the middle of the week. That's happened before. But they're all good. I mean, I'm not sure who it is who's working with me. I didn't look on the site yet, but they're all good. Every time I've worked there, it's been a lot of fun.
It's very
the talent's
prestigious.
Good.
It's Atlantic City, Vegas. Same thing to me.
Yes,
just
exactly.
One has a beach and one has a man-made beach.
There you go. Yeah, there's more sand
the,
in
dam,
Vegas.
Hoover Dam.
Yeah, that's the only difference. There's more sand in Vegas.
Okay, and let's say those websites again.
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
It's golf.
For real estate.
Real estate for acnewhouse.com.
And for comedy?
Golf Club Comedy.
Golf Club Comedy.
That's it.
And for the Tropicana, it's thecomedystop.com. That's so easy.
Yes.
Well, believe it or not, Al, we have been on the air for over 35 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. What do I owe you?
Nothing. 20 jokes are in the mail.
There you go. You better fax me 20 good jokes about Tiger Woods by midnight.
Oh, God.
God bless him. Yeah, I thank him.
I hate to even say anything because I hate to even do jokes on it because we're in such a politically correct, but I got to say, celebrities just make it too easy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, nobody saw that coming. I certainly didn't. You know, and instead of picking on the average politician and basketball player that does wrong things, whatever, now we got a guy that's really had an impeccable reputation up until now. You know, he was untarnished, you know.
I'll tell you one thing. Things are going to come out.
Yes, because did
you know that when SAG was on strike, I think he did a non-union, I believe.
No, I did not know that.
I mean, I heard that somewhere. If you check the SAG hotline or check SAG.
Okay.
And in SAG, you get fined for the whole amount that you get paid.
Okay.
So I don't think it's the first time, but it seems like, I don't understand. When you have so much going for you,
nobody does. It doesn't make any sense. And he's not the only one. There's you can go on and on with the stupid decisions that people have made in those positions. I mean, like, we all say to ourselves, what were they thinking? You know,
He wasn't.
No, exactly. Well, they were thinking with, you know, another part of the anatomy. That's the problem.
He was thinking with his club.
Good, I like that. And by what I hear, he's got a short game. I'll be here all week.
But he does know foreplay.
Oh, my God, we can go on and on with this. But he plays 9 holes off the course. I can't believe I said that. See, I may have crossed the line on that one, but we got it in there at the end.
You got it. I know. See, there you go. Your golf game, your golf jokes just took off by a...
There you go. Now the phone's going to ring off the hook.
Now it's
going to
ring off the hook. No, I don't know. I think there's a lot of golf fodder there. I mean, they do make it too easy.
Yes,
you
they know, do.
They do make it too easy.
Yes, they
and
do.
And in this politically correct time, Al, how are you going to monitor how far you can go?
Well, you know, it really depends on who you're performing for. I mean, sometimes I've done everything from, you know, corporate ballrooms, black tie to, you know, moving train cars, you know, literally a train car from going from car to car with three people in each car. And I mean, it's like...
And I've done everything from buses...
Right. Right, so you've been there
too.
I mean,
moving cocktail parties on a ship.
Yep, exactly. So you kind of got to gauge.
Walk around and do that comedy, girl.
Right. And bring me a soda.
And bring me a soda, wife.
Nuts.
It is what we do for a living.
But we do it, and it's fun, and I love it. I wouldn't want to do anything else. I mean, I enjoy myself. I enjoy making people laugh.
You do it well, I might add. You do it very well, and you do produce these great shows at the Friars Club, which you have to be a member or a no to get in. These are very exclusive shows, and with a very, very good talent. And
I think so.
And we all love Michelle Kilby's last show, Michelle Ballin.
She's great.
She's on the road somewhere.
She's a sweetheart. Been a friend of mine. And again, we go back 20 years as well. You know, friends that I've been in this business with a long time are still friends.
Funny. Yeah. I mean, she's
hilarious.
My test of a true comic is how much do I laugh, and what do I remember most about them? And with you, I remember your stories, but I also remember your style. I kept going, I love his style. I love his style.
Yeah, well, I got style, baby. You know, you want to be with
style.
Me, you got to have style, too. What can I tell you?
You got class. You'll be at the Tropicana.
December 7th to the 14th.
Through the 14th, a great time to go down there. Nice holiday thing to do, too.
Yeah, and go shop at the Walk. You'll pick up some deals.
Shop, see a show, check out the boardwalk, gamble a little, have fun.
Yep.
Go see Al Kaz this week. Not his real name, but his real name means selling a house in Italian.
That's it.
It's so weird.
Close enough.
Close enough to selling a house in Italian. Al, it's been great having you on the show.
You too, Nance. Thank you.
And I'll see you around the club. And this will be available and archived. I'll send you the link, and you could send it out. People could listen to it if they couldn't right now. Thank you, Al.
Thank you, dear. Happy holidays to you and yours.
And happy holidays.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Comedy Concepts Talk Radio. Join us anytime. All our shows are archived. Today's episode was the infamous Al Cash.